Guys, before we get started again, there's a small public service announcement here. This is an envelope. It's addressed to OCMC. It should have my stamp on them. These don't have a stamp. Oh, some of them. Well, if you'd like to make a donation for our work in Romania through OCMC, please take an envelope over here. And if you find one that's got a little red stamp on it, it's probably better. But if you don't, well, in any event, if you want to make a donation, please write France/Romania, or just put Romania on there, Floyd, Romania, or something like that, St. Dimitri, Romania. And send it over to OCMC, and it'll go into our support account, and we can use it in our projects in Romania. Be very good. And also, if you want to make a small cash donation for the help of the travel expenses, you're welcome to do that too. Whichever, or either one, or neither one, or however you want to. Okay, moving along. Now, so how do we do this from what the perspective of the church? St. Maximus, the confessor. Are you all familiar with St. Maximus? He wrote some incredible things. I mean, it's amazing. He's from the 7th century, 6th, 7th century, 7th century, I believe. He said there's a path to soul sickness, a path to the passions. The first would be delusions and false beliefs. In other words, being confused, believing things to be true when they're not true at all. Okay? And, we see a lot of that today. A lot of people think things are normal, but they're not normal. Okay? A lot of people think, hey, just doing some of these things is just cool, or okay. Not cool or okay at all. It's false beliefs. They believe things that are true, to be true, that are not true at all. And we all do that to some degree. Another big problem is just simple ignorance. Just plain being stupid. Not knowing what is true. Okay? Now, we're all a little bit, all of us. None of us really know the complete truth about anything. That's why we read, we try to educate ourselves. We talk to other people, we talk to the priest, we pray, we talk to our sponsor. We go to school, we do all these things, so that we know what is true about life, about values, about virtue, what is good, what is not good for us, okay? And it's important for us to know these things. As human beings, as people, we need to know what's good for us, because we get all these messages, okay, from society, sometimes from family, sometimes from friends, sometimes they just come into our mind. Do you guys believe your own thoughts? I don't believe mine. Okay, I mean, if I get a thought about something, a lot of times I'll stop and I'll look at my thought and say, wait a minute, where'd that come from? And because I don't trust my own. That's why I've got a priest. That's why I've got a spiritual advisor. That's why I got sponsors. Okay? It's why I read. It's why I try to understand. It's why I talk to you sometimes. Okay? It's why I like to hear your questions and your comments to get what other people have to think and what other people have to say about that. Okay? Because I know I'm a little bit ignorant. Okay? And I hope I always know that. Because that way I will seek to learn. I will seek to know better. Now, the next thing is impassioned thoughts. Now, it's like we're talking a little bit about dissociative personality disorders or attachment disorders or detachment disorders, impassioned thoughts, where we have unhealthy attachments to things and emotions ruling the mind. One of the most common ways of describing addictions that we use in Romania is we call addictions a form of idol worship. Okay, because the behavior, the drug, the alcohol, the gambling, the sex, the pornography, or whatever it is, we make it a god, okay? Because it becomes more important to us than our true values, okay? Than what we believe is right, what we believe is wrong. I don't worship alcohol. Well, then why is your wife divorcing you? Well, you're going to give up your relationship with a woman you've been living with for 20 years and your children, so you can continue to drink alcohol. Or you refuse help, okay? And with the almost the absolute certainty you're going to lose those things. That's a form of idol worship. Priorities, perspectives, completely out of line. Okay? Very mixed up. But there's a whole passionate affection toward these things. And it's really a form of pride. Okay? Consenting to sin. Now, consensual, there's one thing of, you know, I mean, we've all sinned. I suppose most of you are sinners. I'm a sinner. I say we all sin. That's why I'm being presumptuous when I say we all sin. Maybe some of you. But it's one thing to sin, okay? But it's another thing to believe that sinful behaviors are good things. And oftentimes that's what we do, okay? Especially in early addiction. Oh, you know, it's just okay. I don't know how many times I've heard people say this. Oh, you know, when I'm drinking a lot, I'm just more artistic, or I'm more creative, or I think better. Oh, yeah, well, you know, when I smoke pot, you know, it's just, you know, everything is just better. It's more mellow. It's all this, you know. And that's just nonsense. It's just, but people, they live and they believe that it's just a good thing. And also, okay, there's always that other part of ourself, okay, that is our natural self, our natural will, okay, that is being called to do better, that is being called, you know, to come back home, okay, that's being called to not or to do, okay, that better part of ourselves, and we ignore that. And sometimes people would drink just so they can ignore it. Okay, we ignore the Spirit calling us in our hearts. We ignore the Spirit calling us in our souls. We read something in the Scripture, or we hear it on Sunday, especially during Lent, you know, God help me not to judge my brother, you know, or all these kind of things. And you know, but what do we do? We ignore it. Well, yeah, that's good, Father, you know, and I'll see you later. You know. But that's what we do sometimes. We ignore the Spirit. And it can lead us into all kinds of bad things. Okay. Whoop, there was something. The saying at the bottom. Chains of habit are too weak to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just a short comment. The consent to sin, I heard Father Thomas Hopko speaking about this, that I think he was quoting Paul, and I can't remember the exact place in the Bible, but to call something sinful good, to not know what is sin, to believe the lie that sin is okay, that this consent to sin is kind of like, in some ways, it's the devil's last stand, because if you believe that it's okay to have this addiction, that it may get all of the good reasons that you just said, then it's kind of a somewhat hopeless situation, except for...
It's worse than hopeless.
Well, except for the part that you said, that the part of us, the natural self, respond. Of course, these parts are warring.
Yeah.
And that's why there's so much shame around the addiction.
I didn't put it in here, but there's a place in the Scriptures that refers to what you're talking about, and it says, woe unto a people, okay, who it said, I'll have to paraphrase, and I wish I could tell you the verse. It says, woe unto a people who call evil good, and who call good evil.
Exactly.
Because the wrath of God is not far from them. And so that's a very serious thing when we do that. And
well,
it's scriptural.
Where marijuana is being legalized in our culture. It's being okay. It's just a medicine. It makes everybody pot, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really confusing place to be, because if everybody believes that it's really okay.
You know, yesterday, now you got to remember, that I'm outside the culture. I've been outside of the United States now for 13 years. Okay, I come over every 2 years. I spend a couple of months, and that's all. And so when I come back, sometimes I get a little bit of cultural shock. You know? And now I'm in California now. And I was over the post office in Napa.
All sins being accepted.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
In San Francisco, that all sins are being accepted.
Yeah. It's I've not been there. I missed San Francisco this time. I was in at the beach in Torrance. down on the waterfront there in Torrance down there. And it's interesting. But yesterday I was coming out. I had a mail for my sister's. I was sending my sister a postcard. And I was coming out of the post office, you know, and there's a guy and a gal. And they must have been, probably 50 or so. Oh, maybe not 50. It was hard to say how old they were, in their 40s. And they were sharing a pipe, you know. And I thought, well, you know, I know it's kind of quasi-legal or something, you know. And they certainly probably wouldn't get arrested these days. I mean, they might confront them about it and say, oh, you should have spoken in part or something. But I didn't think too much about it, you know, and I thought, well, that's a little strange, you know. And usually, you know, used to be they keep it hidden, you know. But then I got to watch them a little bit. I started to go talk to them. And I probably should. You know, I wanted to talk to them about, you know, how they were living and how things were for them, and you know what the general attitudes were about, you know, openly smoking marijuana, because it used to be you couldn't openly smoke, things like that. And but I just kind of watched them for a few minutes, and then I left. I had some other things to do. But then I got to thinking about it. And I got to thinking about how they looked and the expressions on their faces. And you know what? They did not look happy. I just don't know how to tell you that. They simply did not look happy. And you know, what I know about addiction is that people that become addicted, it's not fun. Okay? They really don't. They may have a little bit of a few moments of pleasure. There may be some kind of a pleasurable attitude about using. But the fact of the matter is, by the time you get to be addicted, they're really using to escape the pain of not using. Okay? And that's addiction. Okay? When you gotta use to cover up all the, you know, how you feel about life, how you feel about things. And that's what I think I was seeing yesterday. And my concern is that, you know, my God, you know, are we gonna have a generation of people who in 20 years, 30 years from now, you know, that, I mean, it's not good. I mean, but that's going to be their generation. You know, that's going to be something that. But the real concern I have, okay, is how, you know, how do we keep ourselves from it? But what about the people in our churches? Okay, what about the kids who really don't have, you know, a positive experience about, you know, not using, not drinking, because we all, you know, there's too many people today who don't want to talk about the things that we're talking about this morning. Who don't want to confront, you know, hey, you know, it's really not a good thing. You know, it's really madness. You know, and what are we doing over here in our church? You know, I hear a few priests complaining about it, you know, things, but I don't know that we're doing very much. And that's really not good. I don't mean to stand here and confront everybody. That's really not what I came here to do this morning. But it's kind of a question. You know, I think we should all ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing personally? But what are we doing as a church? What are we doing in our parishes? What are we doing in our homes? What, you know, what are we doing as a community? You know, should we be talking to the youth director in our church? Do we have a youth director? You know, because if we don't, we're not going to have youth before long. You know? They'll all be down there on the park bench, you know. Because they're getting all kinds of messages. On the what is on the television today is just plain crazy. Yeah, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Now, Floyd, you know I'm an alcoholic, and that makes me a natural subversive. But I want to say, I get very uncomfortable with any discussion that begins to focus on a particular substance or thing as being the problem.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with chocolate eclairs, and they shouldn't be illegal for people to eat.
Amen.
Unless I eat a hundred of them, I have no control over that. So this is why the focus on the illness, the underlying cause, there's a lot of people who can smoke marijuana or drink Zinfandel, and they don't drink 10 bottles of it like I would, or buy 100 pounds of pot and use it in a month. So to talk about, I'm not for or against legalizing various things, I simply think it can be a distraction from the real issue, because there's an illness that's operating inside of me, that for a long time alcohol worked to treat my fear and pain and suffering that I was in from that illness.
Well, and that's the, I think that's, it's, I agree with what you're, with everything you're saying, Roger. And, you know, there's a certain argument about legalization of it, you know, and all these other kind of things. But what I guess what I'm saying is that it's not just about the marijuana. It's about a lot of some other few other things. Okay, it's like you know, God has become kind of more of a taboo subject, and these other things are becoming very acceptable. Okay, you know, that's my concern about the whole thing.
It's a spiritual malady. Against anything
in
God.
Yeah,
that's the devil
at work. Okay, so now simply put, passion is a soul sickness or a spiritual, we call them spiritual emergencies. The judgment of the addict becomes clouded, confused, not able to discern its environment, allowing the will to follow the desire of the heart. Now, the heart does not always have a godly desire. Sometimes our desires are not godly at all. When you couple that with biological or psychological distress or pain or confusion, and then you have a prescription for addiction. Now, passion and addiction, we feel, are about the same thing. We see it as a state where the emotions or the feelings are governing the will, the reason and the intellect, because the reasoning of the intellect and the reason is so influenced by the emotions. Okay, that the emotions actually make the decisions for the person more so than a rational will. And we believe that is pretty much the state of the addict. That's an important aspect of it. Now it's a V chart. Actually, one side of a V chart. Y'all know what the V chart is? You ever seen a V chart? It's a description of the symptoms of alcoholism, how it progresses, and then it hits the bottom, then they go back up and recover. And this is the B chart showing a spiritual progression of addiction. The first thing that happens is the value system becomes sedated, becomes indifferent and confused, which I think we have a certain amount of today in our society. Grandiosity, perfectionism, intolerance of other people. Our religion can get sick. We've become too simplistic in our thinking about religion. We think it's going to the church, it's being in the church, and it's really not, you know. Religion is a lot more than just attending a service. There becomes a lost interest in life. A lot of guilt feelings, feeling not at ease with God. Prayer becomes more difficult if it's present at all. Oftentimes a person will begin to detach and separate themselves from the prayer life and from the church. And then the person does become estranged and not feeling, you know, not knowing their place in their home or society. There may be, you know, signs of irresponsibility, and this is where you start also seeing other things such as, you know, some of the other symptoms we talked about of loss of jobs and loss of relationships, loss of marriages, and these kind of things. Then life begins to have no meaning. They have a lot of fear and anxiety without really knowing what they're related to. And they treat this anxiety and fear with the drugs. Oftentimes they become indifferent or rather resentful toward God. They begin to blame God for their problems and fate. Especially people who do not have a clear definition or relationship with God and youth, you know, it's real easy to get God as being the villain in all this. It's often accompanied by moral deterioration, loss of faith. It can be a conscious or unconsciously rejecting God, while at the same time longing for God or the fulfillment of their relationship that they had at one time with God and looking for a relationship with God. And then remorse, depression, suicidal thoughts. Now, oftentimes, when they get to the bottom, and when an alcoholic or addict hits the bottom, they'll start having a lot of spiritual desire. They'll start looking for spiritual answers to that. And, you know, we see that a lot, you know, in our society where people are looking for spirituality. They're looking for answers. They're looking for some extraordinary way of helping themselves. You know, they're looking, but they're sometimes looking in the wrong places.